Hello, my fellow DBT family. This is Steph Edsel, your therapy host for this podcast. I hope the week has treated you all well. Holidays are triggering for some folks, and it is the best time to practice your skills. Today, I'm going to talk about the model of emotions. The first thing I want to go over are the characteristics of emotions. They are complex. They generally consist of several parts or different reactions happening at the same time. They are automatic, involuntary responses to internal or external events. They cannot be changed directly, yet you can change events that cause them. Basically, you cannot command yourself to feel an emotion and then feel it. You know, the whole, hey, calm down statement. Never in the history of telling folks to calm down did it actually work. Or my favorite, just be happy. Really now? I really hadn't thought of that, and I'm sure none of you have either. Like, look, dude, if I could make a switch, I'd probably do it all the time. Since that is not possible, we have emotion regulation skills for this conundrum. Emotions are sudden. They rise and fall. In fact, the longest lasting emotion goes for just over 90 seconds. Wild, huh? I imagine some of y'all out there don't believe me, and that's okay. What keeps our emotion fueled are the thoughts about the situation causing the emotion. When we describe the model of emotions, it's important to understand that there are several components, and if we can alter one of them, it can often change the whole emotional event itself. Emotions are self-perpetuating. Once it starts, it keeps restarting itself. That's why it can seem like emotions drag on forever. They really don't. Emotions, being that they are complex, they have components to them. Like I said, if you're able to change a component, and we will talk about that in a moment, you'll probably be able to reduce or change the emotion being experienced. The last thing I will say about emotions before I go into the model is they are universal. There are roughly 10 to 12 emotions. We recognize fear, anger, disgust, guilt, joy, jealousy, envy, shame, sadness, and love as some of the universal emotions. Be aware, some people show their emotions differently. That is for a variety of reasons. One big one is how the emotion was modeled for them growing up. Okay, let's start on the emotion model. This is how emotions are created. Stay with me here. The first thing to notice would be your vulnerability factors. These are conditions or events that make you more likely to make emotional interpretations, more biologically reactive to specific events, and very sensitive to a prompting event, aka trigger. Sometimes a trigger is the straw that breaks the camel's back, so to speak. Things like events from the near past, basically happening right before the prompting event, they can make us more vulnerable to emotions than at other times. These are times like not having had enough sleep, not enough to eat, or not enough hydration. Maybe physical illness or injury has occurred. Maybe you're recently disabled, have had alcohol or drugs. Maybe some really stressful events. Those things are some examples of things that would impact our emotional state, and it would probably even be easier to trigger the emotion with one or more of these examples being experienced. Events from the distant past can make us more vulnerable to events in the present, especially if we have not processed or resolved the past events. If you've ever been in a bad accident, you'll know if it's still unprocessed by your body's reaction and the emotions that come up when you think about the accident. When these vulnerability factors change, emotions can change. Get what I'm saying? If you can get your Z's, try to get a balanced diet, don't indulge in or excessively use drugs or alcohol, especially not to cope with emotions. When we break the emotions down in this fashion, as I'm doing for you today, my hope is that you can look at them more scientifically. And you can be a scientist and conduct your own experiments. Next on the model of emotions, we have what are called prompting events. These are things that occur right before an emotion starts. They are the cues or signals that set off the emotions at the particular moment instead of another time. These can be internal. They can include your own thoughts, behaviors, physical reactions, etc. One emotion can prompt a secondary emotion or an emotional reaction to an emotion, in other words. Maybe you get mad at someone, then experience sadness for getting mad at them. I experienced that one a lot as a young mom. I had my child in 1998, and boy did I think I had it all figured out. I remember distinctly getting angry at my one-year-old kid for pouring out the last box of cereal she had, and then she proceeded to stomp all around in it, grinding chunks of cereal into her socks on the floor. Then I was incredibly sad for having gotten angry. Does that make sense? This is a pretty common occurrence. The cereal stomping was an external prompt. Those external prompts can be things in the environment, things that people do, etc. Events can also prompt emotions automatically. You can have an automatic reaction without any thoughts about the event. One time, when my dogs were puppies and they were learning how not to poop on the floor, I stepped in a pile with my bare feet when I was about to get into bed for the night. And we have carpet in that room. I was not even able to have many thoughts, but boy was I mad and grossed out immediately. Didn't even take time for me to experience those emotions. Maybe you have felt fear while being in a place of high altitude, and looking down sent you into some fearful emotions. Or maybe it's joy while looking at a beautiful sunset. The next section on the model of emotions is attention or awareness. There isn't an emotion without awareness. A prompting event will not prompt an emotion if you are not aware that it actually happened. The event has to grab you at least part of your attention to have an effect. The attention grab can be rapid, yet it does have to be there at least a little bit of time. Even when an event is internal, maybe an emotion, an infection, a tense muscle, it will not prompt an emotion if you're not aware of it. You can change emotions by distracting your attention away from prompting events. Your interpretations of the prompting event, not the event itself, is often what really sets off your emotion. Have you ever heard the expression, "The issue isn't the issue, it's how you feel about it"? That is a true statement in many cases. Interpretations are thoughts, beliefs, assumptions about an event. Many of them are based on learned beliefs. For example, spiders kill. Or, how about people would not be afraid of guns if they did not believe guns can kill? Interpretations can become part of complex emotions. Here's an example. Despair is sadness combined with a belief that things are terrible and will not get better. Let's go on to the next box. We have biological changes in this one. When emotions fire, several complex biological changes are occurring so quickly as to be simultaneous. Emotions involve neurochemical changes in the brain. This is when I get excited to teach this stuff. If we could reframe some of our emotional myths to, "Hey, my brain is having a neurochemical reaction right now," instead of getting overwhelmed and carried away thinking things won't get better, life would feel a little less daunting, I imagine. Just a thought. The changes have effects on the rest of the body. Some parts of the brain are very important in regulating emotions, like the limbic system. Do yourself a favor and pull up a model of the brain on Google or something. Check out what the brain looks like, and when I'm talking about the different parts, you can educate yourself if you haven't already on the magical workings of the brain. Emotions involve nervous system changes. The nerves surrounding the brain and spinal cord send signals to the muscles to contract or relax and control autonomic activity, like your heart pumping, breathing, digestion, for example. We have talked about the activating system and the deactivating system. They are the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous systems. When we are experiencing a lot of emotion, our activating system kicks in. Sometimes it can be so intense it feels like the world is ending. Don't despair. Use your skills to ground yourself in order to problem solve situations effectively. Dysfunctional behaviors can also regulate emotions through biology. However, they tend to take a great toll in other ways. Like drinking to make your heart stop hurting,
Sure, it works for a bit. The problem is you're continuing to reinforce emotion by using unhealthy coping tactics. And it makes it harder to want to use the skills instead. Continuing with biology in the brain, there appear to be many emotional brain circuits or systems. Different circuits or systems appear to be associated with different broad groups of emotions. For example, systems like the rage/anger system, the fear/anxiety system, the lust/sexuality system, say that 5 times fast, the care/nurturance system, the panic/separation system, and the play/joy system. So with that, different parts of the brain, like the amygdala, hypothalamus, and anterior cingulate, and different neurochemicals like serotonin, norepinephrine, oxytocin, and prolactin are associated with the firing of emotions and the regulation of emotions. Some people have difficulties regulating all of their emotional circuits. Others have difficulties in only one or a few circuits. Brain asymmetry, is part of biological changes. There's a difference in activation of left and right regions of the brain. These are related to a predisposition for experiencing positive and negative emotional states. Some studies show that people with clinical depression, compared to people without depression, had decreased left brain activation. Differences in right brain versus left brain activation can influence vulnerability to emotional states. High or low activation in various parts of the brain can make it easier or harder for some individuals to regulate their emotions. It's pretty scientific. Then we have the experiences, the sensations or the feelings when you have emotions. You're actually sensing your body and brain changes. This is what is meant when you have an emotional experience. It's also the reason we often call emotions feelings. Sadness involves a sensation of low energy, for example, heaviness and emptiness. Anger involves sensations of high energy, restlessness, and being stirred up and having tension. The experience of sensations can only be changed indirectly. We can focus our attention on something else through distraction or change our biology to block the sensations. Then when we have action urges, this is an important function of emotions. It's to prompt behavior, like to flight in fear or fight in anger. As the body gets ready for action, very strong urges to act can arise. Let's move on to expressions. Remember talking about those? They are hardwired into us. Facial expressions. In all cultures, there are some facial expressions that are linked to the same basic emotions. Many actions that express emotions are also hardwired into our body. A change in facial muscles when emotions are activated is universal. People are extremely sensitive to facial expressions from early childhood. During infancy, emotional expressions are especially important on social signals at a time when verbal communication is not possible. If you're interested in seeing an experiment of this, YouTube a video titled Still Face Experiment, Dr. Edward Tronick, Tronick. That will show you how hardwired our facial expressions are. Researchers now think that changes in facial muscles play a very important role in actually causing emotions. We humans have more nerves in the face than anywhere else in the body. Facial expressions for many of our basic emotions are the same across cultures. The importance of facial expressions in communicating with others is likely very important to our survival. Words communicate emotions. Body language communicates emotions, even when our faces can't be seen. Some examples include hands clenched, posture is relaxed, maybe tense, maybe drooping. Why is it sometimes so easy to see some emotions on people than others? Have you learned to conceal your emotions? How and why? When facial and body expressions change, emotions can change. In a facial feedback study, participants were asked to either smile or not smile when pleasant scenes and humorous cartoons were presented to them. The participants that smiled reported more positive experiences. The results support the theory that our emotions change to match our facial expressions. We have the actions that happen next. Emotions prepare the body for action. When actions change, emotions can change. We do this by acting opposite to the emotion's action. Then we find the emotion name that actually occurred, because naming emotions is universal and helpful. Every culture gives names to emotions. Through awareness and naming, emotions can change. You've heard me say it. If you can name it, you can tame it. Lastly, on the model of emotions, we have the after effects. Intense emotions have powerful after effects on memory and thoughts, the ability to think, physical functioning, and behavior. Emotions love themselves and want to continue or keep refiring. We mentioned that in the beginning of the podcast. Monitoring after effects of intense emotions can help us change subsequent emotions by checking the facts. So this week, I would like for all of you to be noticing your vulnerabilities, what biological changes you are noticing with each emotion you experience. And remember, there's a variety of ways to reduce vulnerabilities. And when you notice intense biological changes and the action urges that follow, try to use the skills you've learned already if the emotion is too intense and you'd like it to be not as such. Next time, we will finally get to talk about check the facts. I'm so excited, everyone. Thanks for joining me again. I hope this has been a helpful episode. Any questions, comments, concerns, please send me an email at uofudbt@gmail.com. And we will see you back here next time. Thanks for joining me.